You're listening to Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. Midterm elections are now just days away. Over the past few weeks, we've been looking closely at the proposals on the ballot, and today we're going to focus on Proposal 1, which, if approved, would legalize the recreational use of marijuana. Joining us now is Eric Lufer. He's the president of Citizens Research Council of Michigan. Good to see you again.
Lester, it's great to be back with you.
So you did an analysis. CRC did an analysis of this proposal. Let's try to go through this step by step. This would legalize recreational use of marijuana for whom?
For adults. The group that's pushing it calls themselves the Coalition to Regulate Marijuana Like Alcohol. And this is one of the similarities that, like alcohol, you can only consume it if you're 21 years or older. You can only legally purchase it if you're 21 years or older. If you're caught with it younger than that, regardless how you got it, it will still be illegal.
So not 18, 21. So
21
is like alcohol. How much could a person possess?
So they could possess 2.5 ounces, and they can grow up to 12 plants. They can have more than that on their property, but it has to be locked away. So if you're driving, you know, you have to have the precautions. You can't have it on your body or whatever.
So it's like sealed container. Like alcohol. You might want to have to put it in a lockbox or something.
Lockbox, you know, in the trunk, somewhere like that. So there's, you know, sort of that issue. 12 plants, once they're fully mature, can produce more than that. And there's a question what you do with it. But yeah, we're talking 2.5 ounces, which is a fairly good size amount.
And on the growing of the plants, I saw there are some restrictions too. You can't let your neighbors see what you're doing, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Which might be what's happening already.
Right? I mean, so with alcohol, you go to the party store, whatever, you buy it, people see you carrying it out, it's not sort of a big deal. This is really geared as an individual liberty for people to be able to consume it in their own property in their own way. So the growing of plants should be away from public view. You're not allowed to consume it in public places, not in schools, not at parks, not at concerts, anything like that. So that's, you know, sort of different than alcohol, where they encourage the sale of alcohol at a concert or things like that. But it's meant to be for your own use in your own place.
If you grow it, can you share it with somebody?
In small amounts. You know, there's still the presumption that you'll have parties or social events and be able to consume each other's. But if they allowed the large amount of sharing, then you'd say, well, you know, here's a bag. Oh, by the way, sell me this pencil or something. And you're just evading the tax laws and the regulatory structure, things like that. So,
well, it's good you bring up tax laws, because proponents talk about the revenue benefits to the state. There would be a 6% sales tax and then a 10% excise tax on marijuana. It's been suggested that additional money would help fix the roads, help support the schools. How much actual money would this sale of marijuana bring into the state? Do we know yet?
So it's sort of ballparking it, because we don't know how much people consume now. We don't know how much the market will grow if you make it legal. So it's sort of picking a number out of the sky, but it's an educated pick of a number out of the sky. And the estimates are $150 to $200 million. So the first amount of money will go to the regulatory structure and administering this. That's more upfront cost than back-end cost to sort of figure that out. And then there's going to be some money go to some studies to figure out if this really can help veterans and deal with PTSD and prevent veteran suicide. The money that's left goes to local governments, goes to roads, goes to schools. And once you divide it those three ways, you're talking a minimal impact, you know, enough to...
Yeah, $30 million is not going to fix the roads.
Yeah, you're talking about 30 miles of road in a state that has hundreds of thousands of miles of roads. So just like the lottery didn't fix schools, these are not the be-all, end-all to deal with our road and school needs.
How would the legislation of recreational marijuana affect the black market that I think it's fair to say thrives now in Michigan?
And everywhere. Really, the marijuana industry has existed in the black market since the 1930s. It'll be diminished. I think a lot of people, given the choice to purchase from the black market or purchase from a dispensary where they can sort of know what they're buying, the potency, the cleanliness of it. There's no, you know, chemicals in it mixed in, things like that. I think a lot of people will choose that route. But there's others who will not, and you still have the ability to grow your own. So it's not going to remove the black market, I think, is the main takeaway here. And one of the things that we were thinking about is Northern Michigan, where you might have to travel long distances to get to a dispensary. Now you have the 10% tax, the 6% sales tax, and the cost of the ride, the gas to get there, your time. It sort of creates an incentive, I think, for Northern Michigan to maintain that black market and continue to grow their own.
The CRC report indicated that under current laws, and I was surprised to see this, the number of annual arrests for marijuana possession has exceeded arrests for all other violent crimes combined. So how would the legalization affect law enforcement resources?
So that's an important part. And I want to differentiate sort of the public safety from the criminal justice. So we know that a lot of people will end up with misdemeanors for small possession, things like that. That affects their ability to get jobs. It affects their ability to do a lot of things. So lessening up the public safety aspect to allow the police to concentrate on traffic and crime and other aspects and don't worry about the possession of marijuana will be a useful element of this, given the scarce resources they have. But not that many people are prosecuted. And when you look at the prison population, how many people are actually locked away because of marijuana, it's a very small percent of the total prison population. So we're getting for misdemeanors, only the drug dealers, the people dealing with large volumes are being locked away, and that's a small number.
I was wondering if the effort that takes in arresting people with small amounts, that possession charge, is going to be the same in just monitoring and watching for people who are under the influence or smoking in the wrong places. I mean, is it going to be a wash as far as law enforcement resources?
You know, we don't know enough from the other states that have legalized before us to really be able to answer that. But certainly, it won't be a complete washout. Let's put it that way, that there still will be cost of public safety to deal with drug driving, to deal with open possession, to deal with people acting irrationally because they're high and doing things they shouldn't be doing.
A recent Reach magazine article on Proposal 1 indicated Michigan employers are, quote, flummoxed about what to do if it passes. What are the concerns of employers?
So under the proposed laws, employers have the same rights that they have now. If they wish to have a drug-free workforce, they will be able to test even after passage of this proposal if it happens. Right now, we know there's a labor shortage. So a lot of employers can't find enough people to staff to be at full productivity. So if this law happens and people can legally use, will there be more people coming in that have alcohol or have marijuana in their system and cannot therefore pass the drug test to be part of the workforce for many employers? So given that we have a shortage now, will this accentuate the shortage and make things worse?
It reminds me of, I was talking to a machine shop training school that indicated half of the applicants were refused because of failing the drug test. And they said they might as well learn now that they're not going to get a job if they, so why waste our time or our resources on them because they won't be able to get a job in the machine shop anyway.
I hear the same sort of stories that people can't find enough people to fill the spots. And many of the applicants that come in seem very capable of doing the work, but they can't pass the drug test. And that's a problem that we're going to make worse with this.
What if my village or city doesn't want marijuana sold on Main Street? What kind of local control is there?
There's very strong local control with this, that local governments are presumed to allow this. With medical marijuana, local communities had to opt in. With this act, all communities are presumed to have opted in, but they can pass an ordinance to say they don't want dispensaries or grow facilities or those types of things in their jurisdiction. The money that's distributed from the tax will only go to those that do have dispensaries, do have commercial businesses. That sort of creates an issue going forward. I can go to Ann Arbor and purchase maybe and take it back to my home somewhere else. And now those police departments, even though they're not getting the money, are still going to have to deal with the drug driving and other issues related to this. So communities can opt out of it, and we think many of them will, as they have chosen not to be part of the medical marijuana community. But there is strong control here.
This proposal says marijuana should be regulated like alcohol, but determining whether a driver is actually impaired or actually just has residential marijuana chemicals in his or her system, it's not as easy as testing for alcohol where you do the breathalyzer test. How would law enforcement regulate that?
Well, we don't know yet. Mm-hmm. And law enforcement's trying to figure this out all throughout America and frankly all throughout the world. As you say, they can pull somebody over if they suspect irrational driving, they're weaving, they're going too slow, whatever it may be, pull them over, and if they suspect the use of marijuana, can give them a test. That test, as you say, will indicate marijuana has been consumed, but not when it's been consumed. It's not a great indicator if somebody is impaired that would keep them from driving. So there are some tests being developed. They're not very reliable yet. A lot of times that road test will lead to taking them back to the station and trying to do something that's more reliable. But that's the big hurdle for public safety, is to try to figure this out. The research we've done, it doesn't look like there's an answer on the horizon anytime soon.
As your analysis indicates, there have been some wildly exaggerated claims about marijuana in the past. You quoted or referenced the 1936 Reefer Madness cult film. But a lot of law enforcement agents and officers in this state still believe it's a gateway drug. They think it's a serious thing. They're against this proposal. What are the public health and safety concerns of legalizing recreational use of marijuana as far as it going further? And are police going to have the same attitude toward the drug they do now, even though it's legal?
So I don't know the attitude. I think...
Yeah, you don't measure that. It doesn't quantify very well, does it?
Well, yeah, and time will tell. I think things happen and police adapt and they'll have to roll with this. So is it a gateway drug? There is indications that people who are using more harsher drugs, heroin, cocaine, that type of thing, started with marijuana. But frankly, before that, they started with tobacco and alcohol. So those could be thought of as gateway drugs as well. But not everyone that consumes tobacco, alcohol, or marijuana goes on to use harsher drugs. And the question is there causation? And that's what the scientists don't know at this point. It could be that those people are predisposed to addictions and they're always looking for a stronger high. It could be that because they're using marijuana, they're in a crowd where somebody has those other drugs available to them, and it could be just a matter of convenience. There's a lot of things related to this. There is not clear causation at this point.
What happens if big marijuana growers, kind of like big tobacco, come in, they set up shop? We've seen that kind of influence on these big industries before, that they have on legislation, on regulation and things like that. How does the state deal with that if big money comes along with marijuana legalization?
Well, I think the biggest thing is sort of where we started. What happens to the black market? You could see big marijuana, air quotes around that, trying to do more to make sure that everything is produced commercially, sold commercially, trying to restrict the access to marijuana from people growing their own or the black market type of thing. Is that good or bad? That's sort of in the eye of the beholder, I guess. What happens then to taxation? Will there be some control on the regulatory side? Will they be doing more to sort of help that commercial grower as opposed to the everyday, sort of mom-and-pop shop that most dispensaries are today? California is the most mature market with this. They haven't really seen that to a great extent. They've taken great controls to make sure they can follow from seed to sale, know exactly what happens. But that's more on the regulatory side than on the industry leading the government through this. Again, it remains to be seen.
If Michigan's Proposal 1 is approved by voters, marijuana use is still against federal law. How does that play out?
That's a good question. The Obama administration took a very lax attitude and said this is a states' rights thing. Let's let them decide. When President Trump came in and Attorney General Sessions, there was some pushback and maybe some indications that they were going to rein this in. They quickly heard from the states where it's been legalized to say, wait a second. We're building our industry around this. We're building tourism. This is part of our economy now. And for you to take a harsh role with this would negatively affect those states. There's some indication that the federal government is thinking a little more about the proper use of medical marijuana, still wanting to make illegal the recreational use. But I think this is going to vary from presidency to a presidency. Congress dealing with this on a sort of stop-and-go manner going forward, it definitely means you can't take it across state lines. So alcohol, you know, happens and they want to control it, but they're not out there looking for it so much. I think they're going to be very vigilant watching the Michigan-Ohio border, the Indiana-Wisconsin. What grows in Michigan should stay in Michigan as far as those other states are concerned.
Eric Lufer is the president of Citizens Research Council of Michigan. You can find the Proposal 1 analysis at crcmich.org. That's crcmich.org. Thanks very much.
Thanks again.